So let's look at what other mistakes people will typically make when trying to build rapport with others. The fourth most common mistake is a lack of genuine interest. The thing about interest is that when you feel an interest inside and your focus is actually on the ideas that someone else is presenting, your whole body language changes. You begin to sub-communicate at a very subtle level signals of interest. Your pupil dilation will change, your level of focus will be changed, your movements will be different. And these are things that other people will read very carefully at the unconscious level and be influenced by. So if your own signals which are going out are saying, I'm bored, I'm disinterested, I don't want to know anymore, well, the other people will respond to those signals by shutting down or getting annoyed or just losing interest in the conversation themselves. So there are two simple solutions to this problem. The first solution is what a great therapist called Carl Rogers called having a high, unconditional regard for the other person. Now, no matter what you think of that person normally, whilst you're building rapport with that person, you must inside your mind convince yourself completely and 100% that whatever the other person is saying is worthy of respect. Now, I happen to think that that's a good way to view people in any way. But to have a high unconditional regard for someone else will help them to open up, because suddenly all the signals coming from you are saying, whatever you say, you will not be criticized, you will not be attacked, which makes them feel safe enough to begin to share the feelings and ideas that actually characterize a rapport in the first place. Another and slightly more obvious way of doing this is what's called to track back. Track back is similar but different to active listening. In active listening, you're told, well, listen to what someone says, then repeat what they've said to you in different words so that they know that you've heard them. Now, there's a big problem with active listening, and it's that language has a neurological effect on people. There's a difference between someone saying, the baby was in my arms, to someone saying, I was holding the infant. Whilst the information may be the same, the actual emotional tone is very different. It actually fires different parts of the neurology and is understood differently on an emotional level. So if someone says, well, I was holding my baby in my arms, and then you reply, well, so you were holding the infant. The problem is at that point, the person feels like you've somehow misunderstood because you've missed the emotional undertones of the conversation. The solution is to track back, to actually use the same words and the same tonalities that someone else has been using. Well, let's give you an example. If I say to you, well, I was walking down the shops and, you know, a person just jumped out at me and scared me. A track back might track that same information, say, oh, so you're walking down the shops and then suddenly someone jumped out and they scared you. Notice that I'm using the exact same language and reflecting it back onto them. This goes back to the idea of matching and mirroring someone, but I'm doing it in a conversational style so that it fits the context of what I'm doing. Another way that you can actually employ a track back frame is to say something like, oh, well, let me just make sure I've got this right. You wanted to do this, and then you repeat the exact same words back to them. The fifth most common mistake is playing the wrong role in a side of a relationship. Now, when two people relate to each other, their relative status will always be fluctuating. To some extent, someone will be a higher status, someone a lower status, and sometimes they'll be of equal status. Now, when I talk about status, this is not a value judgment. Someone who's higher status does not necessarily mean that they are better people. It's a role that's being played. For example, a teacher and a student. The teacher needs to have the highest status in order to be able to teach the student. The problem is that some people are inflexible, and they can only really relate to someone who is in a particular status. So some people are maybe so frightened that someone will look down on them that they can only ever be in a high status role. So if you try and take your high status role from them, they'll start distrusting you or disliking you for it. So, to be flexible in your communication, sometimes you'll play the underdog, Sometimes you'll play the equal, and sometimes you'll play the charismatic authority figure that leads the way forward. Now, the trick is to help someone create more flexibility by perhaps starting at the level that they require and then slowly changing it so that they need to adapt to you. But remember, the pacing and leading principle means you move only as quickly as the other person can keep track of what you're doing and actually follow along. Now, the final mistake is something that very few people actually ever realize. This is the difference between what I call deep rapport and wide rapport. Deep rapport is what everyone tries to establish. They try and drill down into depth of a shared experience. Let's say that you and the person that you're talking to both like motorbikes, and you spend hours and hours and hours talking about motorbikes and motorbike conventions. Now, you would think that that is a good thing, that now you have a good relationship going. Well, actually, believe it or not, you've actually just shot yourself in the foot. Let's take an example. Let's imagine that you had a great teacher at school, someone you really got on well with, and you loved going to this person's lessons. Now, one day, you're in the supermarket shopping with your mother, or perhaps you're out with your friends, when this teacher, let's call him Mr. Smith, comes along and starts talking to you, but outside of the school environment, maybe he's at a party and you're at the same party. How do you feel? Well, if you're like most people, you'll feel a little bit awkward talking to this teacher, maybe in the supermarket or at a party. Why? Because the rapport you have is contextualized. It only fits in one specific place. So when you see them out of context, it somehow feels wrong or unusual. This is a mistake that people make time and time again. The boss at work, the person working with clients. The solution to this mistake is to create what I call wide rapport. In wide rapport, you actually give them many different experiences of you in many different environments. The way to create wide rapport is essentially one of two things. Either you meet them in lots of different locations, so that every location creates a new set of memories of you two interacting together. And that creates a wider set of context in which it's okay for you guys to interact. Another way to create wide rapport is through your use of storytelling. The more stories that you tell about different types of topics, themes, ideas, the more they get a real sense of your entire personality and actually build rapport with that. So you don't get limited to just one track. You have all these different tracks. And after a while, when you've opened enough topics, the other person will spontaneously assume that they can talk to you about anything. When we get to this storytelling or hypnotic storytelling part of this course, we'll give you plenty of exercises and loads of ideas of how to actually tell different kinds of stories that will allow people to build rapport in different ways. Hypnotic storytelling goes much further than just the ability to build rapport, but it's very, very important within this context as well. So, now that you're aware of the most common mistakes and have some simple solutions, you can actually begin to refine your abilities to start building with rapport with more people and more elegantly as well.